Tom Bertram is seriously ill, and Fanny Price has returned to the family at Mansfield Park with her sister, Susan.
Tom. Tom, let me lay this cloth on your forehead.
Edmund?
Don't speak now. You must save your strength.
If I die...
You will recover.
If I die, you must take care of the house. The family. You will do it better than me.
Is this my brother Tom speaking?
They'll be safe with you. I'll just destroy them. Waste everything.
Tom, please rest. If you don't rest, you'll never get better.
I must be the luckiest man in England to be at death's door. And of my very own personal priest.
I'm here as a brother, not a clergyman.
Then as a brother, pray for me. Will you?
Yes, I will.
Forgive me, Fanny, but I had to come. Your poor cousins.
It is not long before Mary Crawford returns in haste, having heard the news of Tom's illness.
Such a fine young man to be cut off in the flower of his youth.
We are praying for his recovery.
Of course. But he is not expected to live. Poor Sir Thomas. And Edmund is at his brother's side?
Yes, Tom seems only comfortable with Edmund near him.
I must speak with a bold voice. And I know you will not think it ill, merely honesty on my part. But wealth and consequence could fall into no hands more deserving than your cousin Edmund's.
Tom may not die, and I truly believe, Miss Crawford, that even
Forgive me, Fanny, I merely mean to say that such an inheritance for Edmund would not be unfitting. The title, the estate, he has a noble heart, we both know that. Perhaps it is God's will that he should be the one to take Tom's place.
And so Fanny comes to see Mary Crawford's true nature. As one might glimpse a once beautiful flower, starved of nourishment in its youth, and grown into a binding weed.
Fanny! Fanny!
Aunt, what is it? Is it Tom?
Oh, my dear girl.
No, Fanny, it is not Sir Tom.
Father?
Sit down, both of you.
I should be with my brother.
I have something to tell you. It will serve to break both your hearts.
Whatever is the matter, sir?
I have had news from London over the last few days. I didn't speak of it, for I believed we needed all our strength to take care of Tom. Then, today, this has been written in the newspaper.
No, I beg you.
We must not fear the truth. It is with infinite concern this newspaper has to announce to the world a matrimonial fracas in the family of Mr. R., by which they mean Mr. Rushworth of Wimpole Street. The beautiful Mrs. R., who had promised to become so brilliant a leader in the fashionable world.
Oh, Maria, what have you done?
Having quitted her husband's roof.
Oh, no.
In the company of the well-known and captivating Mr. C., an intimate friend of Mr. R., and it is not known, even to the editor of this newspaper, whither they are gone.
Oh, it is a mistake, sir. It cannot be true.
Maria and Henry Crawford.
Edmund, I'm going to London to find them. Will you help me?
I'll be ready within the hour.
Thank you.
Oh, Fanny. Fanny. What are we to do?
Aunt.
Edmund.
Will you take care of Tom for me?
Of course.
Oh, Fanny, how could Crawford have done such a thing? And how could a man who once loved you desert you and in such a way?
It is of no matter now. All that is of importance is for you to find Maria and for Tom to get well.
I knew you cared of late for Crawford, but I loved his sister from the start. That is all over now and done. It can never be. Oh, Fanny, look after everyone until we get back.
God bless you.
And God have mercy on all our broken hearts.
Of the entire family, it is Aunt Norris who is most altered. The marriage between Maria and Mr. Rushworth had been her own contriving, and this conclusion of it almost overpowers her.
Of course, it must be said, sister, that had Fanny Price but accepted Mr. Crawford, as any grateful girl might have reasonably been expected to do, this would never, never have happened.
By the time Sir Thomas and Edmund arrive in London, everything is beyond hope. They have no choice but to return to Mansfield Park.
Edmund?
Fanny, I went to see Miss Crawford at the parsonage. I imagined it to be our last meeting.
Mr. Bertram, let us talk over this dreadful affair.
Miss Crawford?
What can equal the folly of our two relations?
There was but a moment fleeting that I hoped she might understand.
I do not mean to defend Henry at your sister's expense. He is a fool to have been drawn on by a woman he never cared for, and in so doing to lose the woman he adored. But as to Maria, she too was foolhardy in the extreme, to think she might be really loved by a man who had long ago made his indifference clear.
She saw it only as folly. It was the detection, not the offence, which she deplored.
He has thrown away such a woman as he will never see again. Fanny would have fixed him. She would have made him happy forever. Had she accepted him, as she ought, they might now have been on the point of marriage. He would have been too happy and too busy to want any other woman. His subsequent meetings with Mrs. Rushworth would have ended in a regular standing flirtation.
I'm sorry, Fan, but I loved her. It was not her intention to be cruel. She was speaking only as she had been used to hearing others speak.
We must persuade Henry to marry Maria. I shall use my influence, and when they are married, she may recover her footing in society to a certain degree.
Miss Crawford, I could not have supposed it possible that coming in such a state of mind into your house as I have done, that anything could occur to make me suffer more.
My dear Mr. Bertram.
But you have been inflicting deeper wounds with every sentence you have uttered. There has often been a difference in our opinions, but I know now that I have never truly understood you before, and that the Miss Crawford I have dwelt on for many months past is but the Miss Crawford of my imagination.
Pretty good lecture, upon my word. Was it a part of your last sermon? At this rate, she will soon reform everybody at Mansfield and Thornton Lacey.
She tried to speak carelessly, but she was not as careless as she wanted to appear. From my heart, I wish you well, Miss Crawford.
Mr. Bertram. Mr. Bertram!
Edmund sits broken by Fanny's side. Her friendship is all he has left. Fanny is returned to Mansfield Park. She is useful. She is beloved, and Sir Thomas holds her in increased regard.
Do you remember coming to us when you were but a child, Fanny?
I shall never forget it, sir.
We had it in mind to educate you, to improve your condition.
Please, sir.
No.
I beg you.
Let me speak. Too much has been left unsaid. I should not have allowed Maria to marry Rushworth. My instinct for what was right was clouded by other, less important concerns. My children are afraid of me, and the cost is that I have never come to know them. Had I done so, I might have been able to help them. But you, Fanny, you have proven true. Only you had the courage to follow your own heart, to know what was right, when the rest of us had lost our way.
Mrs. Rushworth could not be prevailed upon to leave Mr. Crawford. She hoped to marry him, and they continued together until she was obliged to be convinced that such hope was in vain. In time came a voluntary separation.
As you are well aware, sister, I am not one to shrink from my duty. Someone must go to live with Maria, and if it falls to a poor old, almost penniless widow such as myself, then I will bear the responsibility with dignity.
Oh, sister.
Mrs. Norris left Mansfield Park and devoted herself to Maria in an establishment found for them in another county. When the news of Maria's flight with Henry Crawford reached Julia, it only served to increase her dread of her father and her home. She eloped with Mr. Yates. Maria's guilt had induced Julia's folly. Julia returned to Mansfield Park, humble and wishing to be forgiven. Yates wished most sincerely to be accepted into the family, and although he was not solid, there was hope of his becoming less trifling.
And what is the name of this one?
Myrtus Communis. Myrtle.
Who would have thought that every one of these green things has a name of its own? And who is this intruder? Stand still and face your death, Mr. Snail.
No, you mustn't kill him.
Fanny, he'll eat your flowers.
Let him have his dinner. Look, there is enough for everyone. We are blessed.
Well, I shall place him in the shade of these leaves. And then, as he eats, he may also enjoy a particularly pleasant view of the house.
Tom gradually regained his health, without regaining his thoughtlessness and previous selfish habits. He had suffered, and he had learned to think. In time, he became what he always ought to have been, useful, and not living merely for himself.
Snow everywhere. Oh, it's such quiet.
All of the land grown white.
As the months passed, Fanny Price came to inhabit that position central to the family and the estate, which had always rightfully been hers.
Look, it's the tree where the nightingale builds her nest every year. Remember how you took me up here when I was 10 years old and grieving for my mother?
I showed you that fox's den. Look, it's the same. Just the very same. Only we have changed.
Not you.
For a time, I did not know myself. Is that what love does? Makes us unrecognizable to ourselves.
The best of love, I think, serves only to draw from us all that we ever promised to be.
Should we go to the stables and find ourselves some horses?
We have not ridden these 5 months past.
It is the new year. Let us start it on horseback.
Henry Crawford might have won Fanny Price, but the temptation of immediate pleasure was too strong. He lost the woman whom he rationally, as well as passionately, loved. Mary Crawford became perfectly resolved never to attach herself to a younger brother again. She failed to find, however, amongst the dashing young heirs apparent of London, a man whose character and manners might equal those of Edmund Bertram.
Come, let us race all the way back to the house.
And as to Edmund, in time he came to heal from his attachment to Miss Crawford. And it began to strike him that a very different kind of woman might not do him just as well.
Fanny! When I said race, I never meant for you to win!
It was the match that Sir Thomas had hoped for. And Fanny was the daughter for whom he had always longed. With so much true merit and true love, and no want of fortune and friends, the happiness of the married cousins must be as secure as earthly happiness can be. Their home was a home of affection and comfort. They removed to the parsonage, and it soon grew as dear to Fanny's heart and as thoroughly perfect in her eyes as everything within the view and patronage of Mansfield Park had ever been.
Look, Edmund, look! Is it not the loveliest house in the whole country?
Yes, my dearest. I believe it is.
Now I am home.
In the 10th and final episode of Mansfield Park, Jane Austen was played by Amanda Root, Fanny Price by Felicity Jones, Mrs. Norris, Julia McKenzie, Mary Crawford, Susan Lynch, Edmund Bertram, Benedict Cumberbatch, Lady Bertram, Liza Sadovy, and Sir Thomas Bertram, Tim Pigott-Smith. It was dramatised by Lynn Coughlin and directed by Sally Avens.